is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for listening. Another candidate interview. We're getting very close to Tuesday, the deadline for balloting in the May primary election, and another opportunity today to talk to former State Representative Christine Drazen, one of the Republican candidates for governor. Christine, thanks for being on.
Kyle, thanks so much for having me. It's good to be on today.
So, final days of the campaign, how are you feeling about the race?
Really, really strong. We have been all over the state. I've talked to Oregonians in every corner of the state. And they're excited about this race. They're excited about the opportunity for me to be the nominee in the general election and, you know, to fight for Oregonians, to work for Oregonians, to give them their government back. This is an extraordinary year, and it's been really, really thrilling to get out there and talk to Oregonians about how real it is that we can actually get the change we deserve this year.
Now, recent polling that I've seen shows you leading the race, Bob Tiernan in close behind. But one of the comments that I've gotten from several listeners and folks around our community is for those that are Republicans, a lot of people, in fact, someone even said they had their ballot all filled out, but they were still trying to figure out the race for governor with so many people running. That's leaving a lot of people wondering which direction to go.
Yeah, I'm the only one in the race that has the vision, and I'm a proven leader in Oregon, and I have been in the trenches. I have fought against these Democrats. I understand what it will take to lead our state in a new direction, and Oregonians are recognizing that across the state. And I'm looking forward to the primary day. We've been fighting hard, we've been pushing hard, and I'm looking forward to crossing the finish line.
Top issues that you're focused on if you're elected, what are you going to be concentrating most on?
I'm going to start on day one by calling for all of the agency heads to turn in their resignations. And we have got to give Oregonians their government back. And that means that we roll back regulations. We do everything we can to support affordability, lower taxes. And that really does begin in the executive branch. We have got to have agency heads that serve people, not their own political agendas. And we're seeing it across the board right now, whether or not it's the Department of Education or the Oregon Health Authority or DEQ. I mean, you name it, we have agencies that have run amok. And the opportunity to put folks in those positions that are going to respect Oregonians and support less government and work with Oregonians is really going to be a new day. And we can get politics out of the classroom. And on day one, I will call for the resignation of Colt Gill, who heads up the Department of Education. We've got to do that.
Now, it's not uncommon for a new leader, a governor, or in similar offices to come in and ask for all of those resignations, because those folks all serve at the pleasure of the governor. In this case, have you already begun to look at potential people that you would put in those places?
That is going to be an exciting opportunity to be able to look across the state and across the nation and find the best and brightest and bring them to Oregon to help us turn our state around. And we have, you know, we've had Democrat governors since 1987, which means that the people that have the experience in our state, that have led agencies in our state, have all been Democrat appointees, you know, for a generation. So I have been beginning the process of evaluating what's available out there, but you know, I'm not the nominee yet. We got to get to May 17th. We got to be in the position to be the nominee, and I'm looking forward to that opportunity.
And as the race has gone on, talk about the financial shape of Oregon. What's your assessment of the of Oregon's budget, and also maybe changes you'd make?
Yeah, you know, Oregon's budget under Democrat control Democrats have only had control of the legislature, which writes the budget, and the governor's office all together for a total of about a decade, a little bit over that at this point. And over the course of that time, they, in just one session alone, increased taxes and fees by $3 billion In 10 years, they doubled the size of Oregon's budget. For 4.2 million people, that's how many residents we have in our state. Oregon's little old budget is $112 billion for a two-year balanced budget. That's extraordinary. I don't believe Oregonians are getting value for their dollars. I believe that our government in particular right now is funding a lot of programs and a lot of bureaucracy that doesn't serve people and doesn't solve problems. And it is my commitment to Oregonians to clean out the fat and to restore us to this place where we have smaller government, more efficient government, more accountable government, and government that actually completes its role and its work. You know, the employment department has to get their checks out. And you know what? The DMV has to operate so that people can get their licenses. I mean, this should not be too much to ask.
And in the past year and a half or so, as a result of the pandemic, there's been an infusion of federal funds that have gone into different areas in the state budget. Are you concerned that when those fall off, you're going to have another situation to deal with in terms of agencies wanting to continue those funds and looking for ways to do that?
I am very concerned that Oregon's government right now is on the equivalent of a sugar high. I mean, they have just been spending money hand over fist with all this federal, with all these federal dollars. And, you know, they can't sustain that. We shouldn't want them to. We can't expect them to. We need a government that is narrowly focused on providing a social safety net, education, good roads. And they have got to stop growing and expanding to do everything for all people. That's not what we need, and it's not what Oregonians want. And it's going to take a Republican to ensure that that does not happen. In the meantime, we have money still sitting in agency coffers that haven't gotten out the door yet, where they have not competently actually spent that money on its intended beneficiaries, even over the course of COVID.
Now, while the GOP leaders want to get a Republican governor back in for the first time in many years, what about GOP gains in the legislature? What do you think is possible after the November general election?
This is such a good year for Republicans. Oregonians across the political spectrum right now recognize the need for change. That's going to help in the governor's race, but it's absolutely going to support legislators or candidates that are out there running for the legislature. We will pick up seats in the House. We will pick up seats in the Senate. We will remove the Democrat supermajority that has allowed them in recent years to be able to raise an extraordinary amount of taxes. And that's going to be because Oregonians are waking up and they're recognizing that single-party control has not resulted in a utopia. Instead, it has driven our state into a ditch. And it's going to take accountability and balance that you only get when you have Republican leaders engaged in this work on behalf of Oregonians. That's what it's going to take to get accountability back.
I think it was about 11 years ago for the House, there was a unique situation where you had co-speakers, a Democrat and a Republican. That Republican happened to be from here. And Bruce Hanna, along with Arne Roblin, over in Coos Bay, as you look back at the legislature then, do you feel like with one party having more control, the two parties just don't work together at all?
Well, and that's just the nature of the system itself. When the Democrats have 37 or 38 votes and it only takes 31 to pass a bill in the House, they don't even want to talk to Republicans. They don't reach across the aisle. They reach across their party, and they go from one extreme spectrum of their party to the moderate side of their party, and they negotiate with each other. That doesn't serve Oregonians. That does not actually solve problems long term. And so having a Republican governor forces Democrats to work across the aisle in the way they haven't been forced to do so recently. I mean, if you want that governor's signature, which they will, to balance the budget or to pass any policies, it will take good public policy that serves all Oregonians and is not politically driven. It will take smaller, more accountable budgets, or all that stuff is going to get vetoed under my administration.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Christine Drazen, Republican candidate for governor. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1246 inside Douglas County News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming at 1. Later, KQEN Local Talk at 4, Umpqua Valley Live. We'll be looking at arts, entertainment, community events, and even some live music this afternoon from the Oregon Old Time Fiddlers as part of the program. On Mondays, Inside Douglas County, Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate, it's Joe Ray Perkins who will be on Inside Douglas County. Christine Drazen with us now, one of the Republican candidates for governor. I want to go through a number of issues and get your thoughts about what you would do if elected. The first one simply is sums up in four letters, PERS.
Yeah, PERS has been an issue for the state for a lot of years. And I believe that we need to work with the PERS board to help us better understand what the actual liability is. We can't have that be an excuse to drive taxes or, in fact, to reduce benefits to people that are retirees that have served the state as public employees. And so to be able to find that, balance and ensure that it's not an excuse to raise taxes on the Democrat side of the aisle, and we're still maintaining our commitment to those folks that have, served in law enforcement and firefighters and teachers, and make sure that we've maintained that commitment. But no, we can't look at PERS and say that that's got to be a reason that we reduce services or raise taxes.
What about education? You touched on that a bit earlier, but give us more of a sense of what you would like to see changed with the state's education system.
I want our curriculum to go back to the highest possible standards. We have to restore graduation rates. Graduation requirements. And by doing that, I believe that when we increase our expectations for our kids, that we will, in fact, increase and improve our graduation numbers. You know, we have gotten to the point now where schools are too political inside the classroom, and they are trying, instead of helping our kids learn exactly how to learn, they're telling them what to think. And that is giving teachers the role of shaping the values of our kids. And that's not their role. Their role is to help our kids learn and not to turn them into future generation change makers. We've got to get parents back in the center of these conversations, and we need to restore local control and parent voice when it comes to the education of our kids. But that all begins with getting politics out of the classroom. And you can do that, since the governor is the superintendent of public instruction, you can do that with a new governor. And I will get politics out of the classroom.
A number of districts have been adding more in the career technical area as sort of the workforce needs are changing. Anything in that arena you would like to work on?
We have a commitment that we need to maintain to Oregonians to fully fund career technical education. Voters passed it as a ballot measure, and it does not mean that it's always been fully implemented across the state. We need to do that. And for those students out there that are looking for those opportunities, that's the future that they want to choose for themselves, we need to encourage and support that in our schools. And lots of our schools across the state have extraordinary, strong CTE programs, and the state has a role there to ensure that they are fully funded.
What about infrastructure? We have a lot of aging roads, bridges. Now, some of those are obviously under the federal government's protocol to deal with, but many are the state's. Are we doing enough to maintain and look at improving the infrastructure we have?
We have got to actually build roads again in Oregon. For far too long, our tax dollars have had a dwindling return on investment for all of us, while our gas tax dollars have been spent on changing and reshaping how Oregonians move through our state, whether or not that's spending more money on, a pedestrian bridge rather than a car bridge, or whether or not it is adding additional layers of complexity to the roads that we do need to build and maintain. We have got to get back to building roads in Oregon. And the agenda cannot be to get people out of their cars and to instead put them all on buses or on a MAX line somewhere. It's got to be to have the free flow of traffic, including our commercial traffic, to make sure that Oregon's economy is strong and that Oregonians are living their lives and their quality of life isn't impacted by bad roads and congestion.
And you see, when you're in the Portland metro area, all the road projects, all the things that go on, but then you get into the very rural areas where the population is much lower, and it seems like not as much has been happening.
Yeah, we have an imbalance right now in where our focus has been for investment in our roads. And, you know, folks across the state that are outside the metro area are feeling that. And, you know, a lot of it also has to do with the economy. We have local road taxes that are just not enough to maintain this aging infrastructure. And when we had the opportunity and we had federal investment, the Democrat-controlled governor's office made the decision to spend that money on transportation projects that don't benefit roads. You know, they spend an awful lot of the money on bike paths and you know, kind of active transportation rather than build roads. We need to stop looking at our state like we can just ignore the fact that we drive. We are a just beautiful, diverse state, and we need a road system that keeps us all connected.
What about state lands, state forests? What would you do there?
We need to, on the portions of our state lands which are our forests, we need to maintain and manage our forests in a way that provides the greatest possible benefit. I am committed to working with all of the stakeholders, that all the various landowners that own forest land, and ensuring that we are working together to identify and suppress fires before they become megafires, to ensure that we are managing our forest land, particularly our state forest land, to the greatest benefit, but certainly keeping an eye to the importance of not allowing that resource to burn up.
A lot of lands in Douglas County and some of the other counties are actually owned by the federal government. What should the state do in working with the federal government to maybe push for changes the state would like to see take place?
You know, we cannot give up on this issue. We have got to continue to push the federal delegation, work with the federal delegation, and do everything that we can to force our federal partners to actually manage federal forest lands. And to the extent that we have, you know, existing programs and, you know, Good Neighbor Authority and other programs out there that allow us to do that in a collaborative way, we need to continue to support that. But we have members of our congressional delegation that want to help move this issue forward. And as governor, I will advocate for the federal government to practice active management of their federal forests, you know, within the state of Oregon.
Whether the party is the Democrats or the Republicans, aside from viewpoints, there's something in leading a state and being a governor in terms of a leadership style. What would yours be in working with the legislature?
I am committed to serving all Oregonians. I am committed to improving the quality of life for all Oregonians, regardless of political affiliation. The role and the work is to lead the state, to set the direction for the state, and to identify a path forward that actually improves the quality of life for all of us. That includes affordability, community safety, good schools, good roads. Just get back to the basics of government. And the extent to which we have a Democrat legislator who wants to work on that with me, I look forward to it. The extent to which we have Democratic leaders within our legislative process that want to work with me and negotiate with me and also serve the greater good for Oregonians, I look forward to that opportunity. I am principled, and my word is good. And also, I am deeply committed to serving Oregonians. I am resolute in that commitment to Oregonians, and I am unwavering in my willingness to stand and fight for what is right and best for them. and the democratic process that is right now led by a single party will benefit from that.
About 50 seconds left. Kind of take this time, sort of a final pitch for those deciding. Why would you ask them to vote for you?
I am the only person running in this Republican primary for governor that has the vision, the leadership, and the experience to lead Oregon in a new direction on day one. I am committed to all Oregonians and improving quality of life for all Oregonians, from good schools and affordability to community safety, supporting law enforcement. I'm endorsed by the Oregon Right to Life. I have the highest rating with the NRA that you can get. And I am a strong conservative, and I am committed to supporting Oregonians across the state.
Republican candidate for Governor Christine Drazen, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you so much, Kyle.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.